don't you come over here and we'll say a little prayer for you? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for our mentor, our mother, your faithful servant who has brought your life, your love, and your word to so many throughout her days. Anoint her once again this night, Lord, that we may have opened minds and hearts to receive your word that will flow through her to us. May that word take deep root within us, Lord, grow to fruition and produce abundantly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. First of all, I thank all of you for being here tonight. And, you know, the first song we were singing, I Will Celebrate. So tonight, we are going to celebrate. My subject is trusting God. So we're going to celebrate trusting God tonight. Let's all sort of forget the outside, the world, and just focus on God tonight and see what he can do for us. You know, when I was praying at home about this talk, I said to the Lord, what would you want me to tell your children? Very loud, I heard in my spirit. I jotted it down so I wouldn't forget. Without God, you are nothing. We have to know that's so true. So, why do we trust God? That is a question we all ask. Why should we trust God? Well, we trust God because he loves us and offers a wonderful plan for our life. If we read in John 3:16, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten Son, that whosoever, you and I, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now this is God's love for us. Now God's plan for us is in John 10:10, where it says, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That is the plan of God. For us to have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly means plentiful. So in other words, we have it all. Then the question is, why is it that people are not experiencing this abundant life? You know, I talk to people and I hear them complain all the time about the life they're leading, the sickness and the morals and this and that. Well, I think I have the answer. Man is sinful and he's separated from God. And he cannot know and experience God's love and the plan that he has for us. And, you know, in Romans 3, verse 23 says, all, that is all of us, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God wants all of us to be saved and to come to know the truth. Now, do you believe that there is but one God? Put your hands up if you do. Okay, that is true. Let me tell you, the demons believe that there is but one God, and I'm chilling when I say this, and they tremble. because they know that there is a God, and they do tremble. What about people like us? Do we tremble? Do we fear God? Do we believe in all that He has given us? Think about it. There is but one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is who? Jesus Christ. Now, I'll explain that a little later as we go on. I just want you to know that God is love. He loves us, and His Son, Jesus, showed us His deep love for us by dying on the cross. And we are at peace with God through Jesus Christ, the peace that the world cannot give us. Whenever we trust God, mercy shall surround us. How good is that? 1 Peter says to trust God for every detail of our life. When you call me, Jeremiah says this, when you call me and when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. And when you seek me, you will find me. I can't get over what a promise that is. To trust God and to accept Him, we must truly make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. He is God's only provision for man's sin. Only through Him can we know and experience God's love and His plan for us. We're going to have a little demonstration. I love parables and stories. That's the way Jesus presented His little parables and stories so that we could understand Him. So I'm going to have Pat put up there on the screen, and I'm sure a lot of you oldies remember this from the prayer meetings. I always remember this, and it stuck with me all my years. It meant a lot to me. So I'm going to explain this to you. That's good enough, Pat. That's fine. We'll start with A, and we'll call that person a non-Christian. And if you will look at that, he puts himself in the center of the circle. And notice where Jesus is on the outside of his life. In other words, he wants nothing to do with Jesus. He's going to take care of all his problems himself. And the problems are like, you know, you have mortgages, you have cars, you have children, you have hobbies. And he's going to take care of it all by himself. Doesn't need God. We go to the next one, person B. And that is a non-committed Christian. And what I mean by that, he'll bring Jesus just a little bit into his life. Not all the way. And he has the same problems. But he's going to work in himself. He's one of those that I go to church on Sunday or maybe the holidays, and that's as far as I go with Jesus. Now, the person C, your last circle, is more or less a committed Christian. That Christian took himself out of the center of his life and put Jesus in the center of his life, so that Jesus will take care of all these burdens, all these problems that he has. He puts it in perspective. He takes care of them for him. They're there, but Jesus is now in control of his life. and he's going to make the burden easier. So, let me see what I have here. Now that he shares his burdens with Jesus, his life is more at ease and he is more at peace. In John 1:12, it says, those who did accept Jesus, he empowered them to become children of God. I'd like to ask a question. Are you tired of carrying all these burdens? We all have them, don't we? Well, I'll tell you, if you would take and read Matthew for me, chapter 11, we'll have an answer to this. See, we didn't prepare ourselves. We're just going along with what God wants us to do.
11 what?
11, and take verses 28, 29, and 30. And that will answer that question for us.
I'm right in that sun. I have to move up, sorry.
Okay.
Take my notes off.
28, 29, and
30. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Is that up to what?
That's up, including 30.
Okay, thank you. That answers that question. So that you see, we need to give our problems, our burdens, to God, and he'll take care of them for us. To make it lighter. Then I want to go, if you don't mind bringing that up a little bit. How are we going to get to God? Since we are sinful people, you can see on that that God is, this is a bridge. God is up top. The bridge has a gap. And we are the sinful man down below here. So we want to get across that bridge. We can't because of the gap in the center. How are we going to do this? How are we going to reach God? Now God, he's not going to take us because he can't look at sin, and we're sinful people. So God can't do anything. What we have to do, and Romans says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what I'm just saying. Because we have sinned, we cannot get to God. So what does it mean to sin against God? What does it really mean? Does anybody have an answer to that? What does it mean to sin against God? Well, I'll give you an answer. It's in 1 John 3:4. This is not my words. I'm picking them all up, biblical. He says that sin is breaking God's law, and penalty for sin is death. Those are his words. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how do we cross this bridge to reach God? I'm going to tell you. We must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come unto the Father but through me. Whosoever, you and I, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, in other words, Jesus already paid the penalty for our sins. He died for us while we were still sinners. So it's Jesus is the answer to God, and it's also the answer of that separation, that gap. So we place Jesus in the gap, in the middle of that bridge. And we, sinful man, can go straight up through Jesus to God. Without Jesus, we will never get to God. That's biblical. That's the truth. That's why Jesus came into the world, to save us. To save us. And when we go through the gap, we are with God. And there's where eternal life is. Am I getting through to you?
Yes.
Am I? Okay. So to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must confess with your mouth. We can find that in Romans 10. I wrote here, there's three things first. We must admit that we have sinned against God, and we have to ask for his forgiveness. Second, we have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for us on that cross. He rose from the dead, and he is Lord. And thirdly, call upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and he will save you. So if you want to read in Romans 10, verse 9, it tells you right there, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is as simple as that to get to God. We have to know and trust Jesus. It's still a little early. I would like, what's her name back here?
Linda.
You had a reading just before we started, and it is an answer to everything that I'm telling you. Would you mind standing up and read that to this congregation? I think it was beautiful.
Okay, it's from Psalm 91. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, and God in whom my God in whom I trust. God will rescue you from the fowler's snare, from the destroying plague. He will shelter you with pinions, spread wings that make that take refuge. God's faithfulness is a protecting shield. You shall not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that runs in darkness, nor the plagues that ravages at noon. Though a thousand fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, near you it shall not come. You need simply watch. The punishment of the wicked you will see. You have the Lord for your refuge. You have made the Most High your stronghold. No evil shall befall you. No affliction come near your tent. For God commands the angels to guard you in all your ways. With your hands they shall support you, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the asp and the viper, trample the lion and the dragon. Whoever clings to me, I will deliver. Whoever knows my name, I will set on high. All who call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in distress. I will deliver them and give them honor. With length of days, I will satisfy them and show them my saving power.
Thank you, Linda. That answers quite a bit. Pardon?
I think it's promise. It does cover everything you
said. It certainly does. And that's why we need to trust God. We need to trust God because, as I said, without God, we're nothing.
Amen.
We're nothing. Thank you, Sunshine. Well, that's my talk. And I'm going to introduce Karen Rogers, who is going to give a little witness as to why she trusts God.
Okay.
word in Revelation, they will be saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yes.
So the power of a good witness is something that will bring us to being saved and becoming one with Christ. Lord, we thank you for our sister. We thank you for the faith and the trust that you've placed within her heart. And we ask you, Lord, that that same faith and trust that you have given her, you will help her to share with us, that we too also may grow in faith and trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to start my witness off by reading Psalm 4. This is called Joyful Confidence in God, because it's another word for trust. When I call, answer me, O my just God, you who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer. Men of rank, how long will you be dull of heart? Why do you love what is vain and seek after falsehood? Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful ones. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. Tremble and sin not. Reflect upon your beds in silence. Offer just sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many say, oh, that we might see better times. Oh, Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart, more than when grain and wine abound. For as soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling. What is trusting God to me? Believing that there is someone greater in power and majesty who loves me, who cares for me, and in spite of myself, accepts me as I am. Someone whom I trust with every aspect of my life. Even with the little mundane things that we get into in our daily lives, to the big trials and tribulations we might encounter, that are things that I find myself into. Sometimes the world can be in its busyness, be hectic, and it can just overwhelm and consume us if we let it. Sometimes I gotta admit, I let that happen. And when I do, there's an emptiness and sometimes a fear that only trust in God can heal. I can look back at different times in my life when I tried to handle my own problems and I got nowhere. But when I put myself in the Lord's hands and I pray with the guidance of his Holy Spirit, I have the courage, the strength, and the peace to live every day, to face any challenges that may come. The Father sent Jesus the Son to show us the way. He died on the cross to show us that way, and he rose from the dead and went back to the Father. And when he went back to the Father, he sent us the Holy Spirit. And he said the Holy Spirit, he would send him to instruct us in everything. He would be our guidance, our counselor. And he's been that counselor for me. And I do my best to show that love to others. I thank God for all he has done for me. And trusting him, I give him my love. He gives me my love. And it comes full circle. In John 1:16, it says, in his fullness we all have had a share, love falling upon love. And when we trust in God, we love him, he loves us, and we love others. And that love is continued on to the next person. And I have found so many times when I thought, well, how this situation is going to happen, how is it going to be ended? And I don't know, by the grace of God, it works through. And sometimes the problem doesn't end, but God gives you the strength to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And you can still, you know, come through it okay. And like I said, I've had my share of things with family problems, and just sometimes it's financial, different things. I'm sure we've all had the same thing happen in our lives. But God has been there for me, and I've been very blessed to have him in my life and be with his love. And he helps me to step out in faith to do his will. I'm not perfect by no means, and there are times I fail the Lord in many ways, just like the apostles did back then when they failed Jesus. But you know, he sent his Holy Spirit to them, and they got the courage to go out through the world and preach the gospel, and they gave their lives for his love, and for the love of the Father. And so we are very, very fortunate to have God in our lives. As I grow in my faith, and sometimes you can read the Bible one time when you were younger, you see it in one way. Then you read it again, you see it in another way because you're older and it has a different meaning. And I'm just very fortunate that I've been blessed with his love, and he's helped me so much to grow in my faith and surround me with everything that I've needed. And
Right. Sometimes you see on, like on TV with all the things going on, you see those people that don't have their faith like the person A. They let the problems, like the catastrophes that happen, they're done for. They just, everything's gone, but they don't realize, you know, even you have to look at it half full, half empty. And those who have the faith, they can see, well, we can rebuild. We can, as long as we have our faith, our lives, we have each other, we can go on. That's the way we have to look at it. No matter what, God is there, and he'll see us through everything. Mark, that trust is so important. And he's always there for us. And sometimes we kind of do our own little thing and kind of back off. But he's, thank God, he's very patient. And he loves us no matter what we do. Sometimes I wonder why he wouldn't want to love me, because I can do some crazy things sometimes. But he is such a wonderful God. And no matter what you may deal with within your life, know he is always there. He will never forsake you. He'll always be there. And sometimes we feel like we're alone, but nobody else, like it says in the Bible and other places, you know, may your father and your mother may abandon you, but I will never abandon you. You will never be orphaned. He will always be there for us. Always trust in God. His love will always be there for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And like I said, I'm sure all of us have had times in our lives when we've had troubles and things, and even just when I go out picking berries, I ask God to be there to trust in his mercy and love to protect me, or when I'm going to work in the morning and when I do the work I do. And sometimes when I'm thinking, he'll bring people to my mind to pray for them, to think about them. And then just like last night, a person was brought to my mind. I called them and found that they were sick, and I prayed with them and said I would put them on our prayer chain. So always remember that God, like Kay said, he is always there for us, and his love is never ending. And that's what I'd like to thank you.
Thank you.